What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mike, and you know, since I'm running the solo show, this is the Coffee Time Kicks, and I have someone here who really I just discovered, well, I'll say a few months ago, changed my life from doing a bunch of work with all these sneakers, but the homie Mike Ogden from Unboxed App, I should say the creator of the Unboxed App. What's good, Mike? How's everything going, man?
I can't complain, man. You know, here to see another day and keep building up some tech. So, you know, I appreciate you having me on and glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No, happy to have you on. And before we get going, I want to ask this question. I always ask it everybody, or start to ask it everybody on the show, since it is Coffee Time Kicks, just because I have an addiction to caffeine and sneakers. If you're going out get coffee or tea, whatever it may be, what's the shoe you're throwing on?
Ooh, right now, what's heavy, just when I'm going out and making some quick runs, are the Black Cement 3s that just came out last year. Those are, I passed on them in 2018, and then I tried to circle back. So I regretted that. So they are definitely getting heavy wear in my rotation these days, for sure. So coffee runs, yeah, got to go with the Black Cement 3s right now.
I need to re-up on that pair because I skipped on that one. I skipped on the 2018 because I had the 2011s. And, but they are sadly just disintegrating, like falling apart completely. Back tab fell off. One of the, soles is separated completely from the shoe. I'm like, so I guess it's about that time I should replace these at some point in my life.
Yeah, it might be time and get it while the price isn't bad. Don't do like me and wait for 2 years and that price shoots up. So strike while the iron's decent at least.
So, you know, if you say that, it's like, it's such a, For people like us, it's a great time for sneakers. I'm not worried about, like, I don't have to worry about the resale. I can walk into places and, like, oh, be very surprised this is here.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's not good for the stacks behind me because it just adds more nonsense, but it's just, I can take my time. I'm not having to just, like, fiercely click things. So, it's a good time to be a sneakerhead. I mean, and it just really, I think, coincides with what you're doing. So, with Unbox, people are being able to inventory, keep track of their sneakers, in their collections, because I mean, if you guys see my background, things get lost in piles. It's not on purpose. It's a thing when you collect things get lost. You find like two years later, like, ooh, it's falling apart now. What Mike is offering to people is a very amazing solution. And Mike, I'm gonna let you really intro that and talk about Unboxed.
No, I appreciate it. And Mike, I'm in the same boat. You know, I got stuff back here and that's just a little bit. That's not included.
This is a taste.
Yeah, right. This is just a little snippet. That's all. Like most of us, right? So, yeah, you know, essentially, you know, the way we kind of, you know, talk about Unbox is really like a service or a platform that allows you to better catalog and manage your collection, right? So a lot of times, you know, once you hit a certain threshold of number of pairs of shoes, you forget what you have in your inventory. And sometimes you're buying pairs that you already had. Sometimes pairs are just sitting that you forgot you had. So what we wanted to do is create something that allows you to quickly look at what you have in your shoe closet, essentially, like a Foot Locker, like a wallet Foot Locker. And you can just quickly see what you have. You can see what you have. You can track when you last wore it. So you can see what hasn't been worn in a while, decide to wear it. You could sit here and as you track your wares, the condition automatically, you know, updates.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yep. So as long as you're tracking it, when you're wearing it, it'll update the condition, recommended condition, you know, real-time market value of your shoes. So if it's something that you've just been sitting on and hasn't been getting worn and it's appreciated and you want to get rid of it, you can do that. So that's just the things that Unbox does around the organization piece of the app. So there are, you know, other things that we can get into as far as what it does. But yeah, it's mainly to help you get an understanding, some intel about what you have in your sneaker closet.
That's awesome. Because again, this is one of those things. It's hard because you start getting something in rotation. Just like, I'm going to keep wearing it. And then something's getting pushed further and further back in the closet. I mean, I've gone in just doing cleanups and like, oh, okay. And like, wait, when did I buy this? Yeah. Like, how long have I had this? I keep receipts in the boxes too. So I'm looking back and like, that was 3 years ago. Why did I wear it? I'm really good about wearing them, but it just, after the first wear, maybe it just kind of got pushed aside.
That's what happens. I got a pair of, Travis Fragments that I've had for a little over 2 years and haven't worn them yet. You know, just haven't worn them. I didn't even realize how long I'd had them. I actually went to the app and I was like, when did I buy these? And I looked and I was like, this makes no sense. Like, I paid X amount of dollars for these shoes and I haven't worn it. They're like, sitting
here. Pull them out. Come on.
You know, for something like that, I got to think. I can't throw those on when I'm running to go get coffee or Walmart or something. I gotta pull those out for the right occasion. So they're gonna get some wear, hopefully in 2025.
There you go. Put them on a list, like must wear. Send an alert, a notification. We gotta put these on.
Right. I'm about to say, like, I gotta do something with it because it makes no sense. They're just sitting there. So yeah, I get it. You get comfortable with certain pairs in your rotation, and next thing you know, things start getting pushed down. So yeah, I need to.
I'll tell you this: what makes it worse? So my normal 9 to 5, I work from home.
Okay,
so. I don't go nowhere. I don't go nowhere. Like, I'll be the first to admit that I go nowhere. Okay. So anytime I even leave the house, I'm like, I gotta put something on. It make no sense. I'm out here throwing stuff on to go to like HEB, the grocery store, whatever. And they're like, why are you? I'm like, look, I'm never gonna wear this unless I can do it now. So I have to do this. So when I go to church, I'm like, look, man, just let me live.
I understand that all too well. It was a point in time where I couldn't wear sneakers to my job. And so I was just throwing on shoes just to get out. And so I remember this time I wore, when I had the Dornbecker 2s.
Oh, yeah. And,
I just wore them to Walmart. I was like, you know, I just need to wear these. I'm telling you, I didn't even realize. You would never think people at Walmart would know what you have on. I must have got stopped at least 4 or 5 times. And people are like, why are you wearing those out to here? And I'm just like, I just need to give them some wear.
I need to. Like, I don't want them to crumble on me. Like,
right. Like, I just need to get them on my feet. So I get it. You know, sometimes you just throw, like, that opportunity you get out the house is like, okay, what are we lacing up? You know?
So what was it, that issue that sparked the idea for Unbox? Or what made you come up with it?
So the issue, of course, that sparked it was just having too many shoes. Essentially, before I started getting front drop boxes, you know, like most of us and some of us still now, you know, you have boxes of shoes just piled up. And so I was trying to find, I wanted a white and red pair of sneakers to wear with an outfit, right? Mm-hmm. And so I start going through and I'm digging through boxes and I come across a white and red pair and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna wear these. Now, of course, I don't know everything that I had in my collection at the time. So probably, you know, a couple weeks pass, I'm going through more boxes. And I come across another white and red pair of shoes that I would have much rather have worn. It was the white and red, the metallic 89s. Ooh. And I said, dog, I would have much rather have had this. So I said, okay, this is getting out of hand. So I said, I'm going to create a spreadsheet, right? So I created a spreadsheet and I got real specific. I'm literally cutting out the stock images, putting it in the spreadsheet, the style numbers, the dates born, all this, right? And I'm going through all this and it got to a point where I'm like, this is so tedious because I sit in front of a computer all day at work. I don't want to come home and sit in front of another computer, even just to log my shoes, right?
Yep.
So I said, okay, there's got to be something out there that exists that lets you track your shoes. So I'm going through and I'm doing some research and I come across one app that actually is supposed to be able to help you catalog your shoes. I paid for the app. It was like $6.99, I think it was.
Yeah.
I go and start trying to upload some of my shoes. It had none of my shoes. None of them. Right. So come to find out, the company had like 5 different businesses around cataloging. You can catalog CDs, DVDs, comic books, shoes. Yeah. So they weren't focused on one thing. So I said, okay, let me see if this is a product that, and a problem that other sneakerheads have.
Oh yeah. So
at the time I was in, Nike Talk. I was in another group of, sneakerheads. And I just floated the idea out there to the group, right? Like, hey, you know, if there was an app or product that helped you catalog and keep, you know, track of your collections, would it be something that you'd want? And it was like resounding, like, yes, like that would be something. So right there, I knew, okay, I got an idea right here. And that's where the thought process of Unbox came into play. And then from there, it was like execute. But yeah, that's where it started off. The pain point of, I got too many shoes and I can't find and remember what I got.
Yeah, man. Like, it's funny. Like we were talking before we got on, but you did the same thing I did. I got a spreadsheet. I'm sitting here just wheeling stuff out next to my desk chair. SKU number, color codes. Oh my god, I was putting in condition, and I was even putting in last date worn if I remembered. I'm like,
yeah,
I got to a certain number. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm actually giving myself a job I'm not even getting paid for right now.
Right. It's work, you know, like
it was so much work.
You want it to be easy, but yeah, that's what happened. You know, it just got to the point where, and if I didn't remember to do something that day, mm-hmm. you know, after 2 or 3 days, it's like, oh, now I got to go back and log all this. It piles up and it becomes tedious. And it's like, okay, it's got to be a better solution.
So, oh, yeah. So what I loved was when I tried your app, it was the fact that I can go to the little SKU number, code to barcode, mm-hmm. click it. I was like, oh, my God, that was the biggest game changer right there. I didn't have to sit there. Because, you know, so even if you do something like on a, like Goat, for example, if mm-hmm. there's pairs, like maybe I want something, and I'm like, okay, maybe I could get rid of something else to, you know, get the cash for it instead right. of just bringing new stuff in. You mm-hmm. gotta sit there and type in the SKU number on a tag, but it's a game changer to go in and be able to say, oh, let me take that picture of the barcode. It's like, it makes it so much easier.
It does. And, you know, for the most part, we do a good job with the sources we have capturing mm-hmm. those barcodes. Now, there are some where you do have to punch in the SKU. But for the most part, yeah, we do a pretty good job sourcing out the barcodes. Because, again, you know, and that could be a big turnoff, right? Like, I have, you know, if you have X number, you know, like 200 pairs of shoes or more, you're sitting here thinking about it like, I don't want to sit here and go through this. So it's just like, what's the quickest way to get you bought in? Right, to wanting to upload your stuff into it. So it's got to be some method or way that allows you to quickly get your stuff in versus, like you said, typing it out. Because if you had 500 pairs and you're like, I got to type every SKU number out, you're going to be turned off. You're not going to want it. So you try and keep up with, you know, capturing as many barcodes as we can. And, you know, in some instances, you know, shoes are coming out early and we may not get that barcode early enough. But I think the big thing is, I think the most tedious thing, Mike, is that initial process of getting all your stuff in. Because once you do that, it's just one-offs. Like, I'm buying one pair a week.
Yeah, instead of, let me get that bulk upload is the worst part. It's like changing the information system. Like, oh, I'm going to go from this, and I got to move all this information here. That's the hardest part. But it's what you guys did makes it easier. And once you've done it, it's like you say, you have all those metrics behind it.
Yeah.
It helps you keep up the collection, be more responsible. Because, like, if I go in a collection or go in an unbox, I'm like, oh, okay, well, oh, there's a cool pair of Jordan 1s. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have 5 pairs I haven't even touched. Maybe I should not even go buy this. Like, you know, makes you think a little bit more, like, I mean, at least for me, it's like, be a little bit more responsible. I don't need that right now. I need to go untie these bad boys and get moving.
Right. Like you said, we're trying to ultimately, we're trying to give you more intel on your collection so that you can make whatever choices you want to make. Like you said, whether it be, oh, man, I got 5 pairs I haven't touched. I need to do something with this. I'm sitting here like the last 8 pairs I've bought, I haven't worn because I'm in that rut of, you know, certain pairs that I'm comfortable with. Right.
You stick with them.
Yeah. You know, but when you look at how much you've spent or all that, it kind of starts making you think, man, you just spent all this money on, let's even just say $200 a pair, and you got 8 pairs. It's like, dog, that's essentially $1,600 that's just sitting there. Like, I need to do something with it, whether it be wear it, or I'm thinking to myself, I could have spent that $1,600 on something else, right? So, you know.
All the time. I'll sit there looking, I'm like, all right, well, I'm not wearing it. Then I said, open the box. Do I feel anything with this? Nope. All right, so it's time to move on from this pair. It's like, It's not like, oh, I want to go resell this thing. It's like, no, I just have to, like, I'm going to buy something else. So let me, like, get funds from this to go buy this other thing if I'm going to buy it, you know?
Exactly. And that's how it gets. Like, sometimes, and you know, but you know what, Mike, the thing is, and you said this earlier when we were talking, because the market is changing right now, the climate with resell, it's a lot better. Because before, you know, we're out there rushing to just buy the stuff. We may not even love it or want it that much right now. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to pay resale for it. So you go out there and you just buy something and then you have it and then you wind up sitting on it. Then later on, it's like, I didn't really love it like that, but I didn't want to spend more on it. Right. So you just buy it and you're stuck with extra stuff. Now, where things are a lot more accessible, you know, now you don't have to sit out here and rush to buy stuff right away. You can kind of sit back, take your time. It could be a month, it could be 2 months, and then really say, okay, do I want this? Cool. Versus being rushed into getting something that you just don't really want. So, yeah, now is like a great time.
Now, have you guys gone to any, like, of the I know you, of course, you guys, we talked about going to Afrotech with the Black Tech Conference here down in the Houston area. Mm-hmm. But do you guys do any of the, like the sneaker events, like sneaker cons and stuff like that?
Oh yeah. So yeah. I have a business partner. Matter of fact, my business partner is out close to your way. He's in the Dallas area.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. But he's more behind the scenes. He admittedly is like introvert. That's not his thing. Me, I'm all about, I'm trying to be in the streets. Right. So, you know, but I like talking to, you know, that's how we create a better product, right? It's yeah. not just about what we want. It's about really embracing and talking to the community and, mm-hmm. and, you know, taking their feedback. And I get feedback all the time via email. So all respectful, things we didn't think about and things that we are thinking about. So I've definitely been to, I haven't been to SneakerCon I went last year to one. Matter of fact, okay. yeah, I did go to one last year, but I used to go to SneakerCons pretty heavy early on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in DC, Miami, Dallas always, Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, New York when they had New York. So I used to be pretty heavy into the sneaker cons, but then I kind of started to backpedal a little bit and figure out what are the rooms and the conferences that I need to be at to for help sure. us grow. So for me, you know, we need, we're bootstrapped. Like everything mm-hmm. has been what the company generates and what's out of pocket. We have yeah. no investors as far as like, you know, like big time investors. We
yeah,
don't
yeah.
friends and family. Even some of the users have invested in Unboxed. So for me, it's about positioning myself to go to some of these conferences like an Afrotech where you can get in front of some entrepreneurs who understand tech, who want to fund some of these minority owned businesses.
Yeah.
That's not to say I still won't go to any sneaker cons because I think Sneaker Con Atlanta is coming up. I may actually go there.
Nice. Yeah,
Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm sure when Dallas comes, I'll probably be in Dallas. So I do still hit, sneaker events when they align with my schedule for sure. Cause I love getting out there and I know a good amount of people. So I love seeing people I haven't caught up with in a while.
Nice. And when you guys go, is it more like, hey, just trying to meet people? Or is it like I'm setting up this table and really promoting like the brand and the technology?
It's really about meeting people. Okay. So I actually, years ago, I did a table. I went to something called this Michigan Sneaker Exchange.
Okay.
And I'd set up a table. And I had a TV that's showing the demo and all this other stuff. But what I came to realize, the cost that's affiliated with, it just wasn't enough. The cost just wasn't worth it, right? Because at the end of the day, people are coming to Sneaker Con and they're stopping at tables to buy shoes, right? Mm-hmm. They're not stopping to look at and get a demo of an app and all these other things. And so I had to take a look and say, okay, the cost to get a table, to fly out there, to, you know, I got ambassadors or friends who would help out. You know, creating QR codes for people to scan, the cost to do that would not be worth the return.
Sure.
And there are other ways that I can, you know, advertise like on Meta ads or through, you know, that I think would yield better results. So I go out there to catch up with people I haven't seen in a while and then, you know, network with, you know, other individuals and see if there are opportunities maybe to partner on some things, see what they got going on and how can we help them and vice versa. So it's really about the fellowship and just kind of, you know, getting in the weeds with the community.
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like they probably priced those tables expecting you to be selling something. So they're like, oh, you're going to be selling X amount of shoes, so you'll be able to afford this table as opposed to, again, you're marketing the idea, marketing the technology. It's different, something different. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from where it just wouldn't be a financially, like, I guess, a conducive idea for you guys to do that.
Right. Yeah. You know, now it's something that, you know, we may look into down the line again and reevaluate. Mm-hmm. But right. We're, you know, for what the return would be, it just wouldn't be worth the spend.
For sure. No, I get that 100%. I mean, that's really cool. I mean, just to get out there, like that's the important thing. We talk about it all the time. It's just the relationship building. It's not, you can't just like start pushing like something without being able to like know the people, get their feedback, because it's the most important part of the success of any business, but especially when you're kind of sneaker in such a niche hobby.
You
really have to like be out there.
Yeah, now, you do. You definitely do. You know, and a lot of the support we get comes from just being out there, right? You know, mm-hmm. people know who I am and this, that, and the third. And again, to your point, you know, just people appreciate the fact that their feedback is coveted, and you know, it goes, it's a part of shaping the platform. Like I tell people all the time, yeah. without our users, there's no Unboxed, right? So they are very important to, they are the brand essentially, right? They build, you know, the platform.
Yeah. So when you go to the, so if we switch gears from, of course, sneaker trade shows or sneaker events, going to places like AfroTech, going to more tech related conferences, what are you guys seeing? Because again, sneakers are so niche. So like we're in our little world here.
Right.
What kind of feedback are you getting from those, like deep into these other parts of tech?
Well, so when I went to AfroTech, that the feedback was actually pretty solid. I actually connected up with, I want to say three or four investors, about some things to potentially do down the line. And then other, you know, also tagging up with other, you know, minority business entrepreneurs who are in tech. And the thing I look at it is I love connecting with those, first of all, those other, you know, black business owners. You know, I love connecting with them because sometimes, you know, being an entrepreneur is not for the weak. Let me tell you. I think that, you know, people see the success or they see things that look great, but they don't know what goes on behind the scenes, right? Yeah. Like if you're in it, you understand it. And so sometimes when I'm going through things, I'm like, dog, like this is rough. And sometimes you think it's just you until when I got to AfroTech, you know, and you know, just other entrepreneurs I've talked to, they are having similar things. Like, you know, like there was a person who was on a panel that was there who spoke. And I mean, he was phenomenal. I had to go up to him and get his information and all that. And he and I have connected a couple times afterwards. And that conversation we had outside of AfroTech, he was like, Mike, let me tell you, I'm in the same boat as you. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, man. He said, you know, I'm getting up there talking about my story and this, that, and the third. And he said, and it's all legit. He said, but just understand, like, I'm in the trenches just like you. I'm trying to generate the traffic just like you. I'm trying to get an investor just like you. So it's hearing those stories, because sometimes you'd be wanting to sit here and just throw in the towel. But when you hear these stories from all these different entrepreneurs who are going through the same pains and struggles and all that stuff, it really sits here and tells you, okay, you just got to keep your head down and keep pushing, because it's just not you. It's just how things are as an entrepreneur, and especially, you know, a black entrepreneur, because we aren't given access to certain groups and circles of people who have the capital that they're willing to just give you. Right. And so there's that aspect. And then on the entrepreneur side, you know, that was good because they were asking, you know, questions that made me think to say, okay, as an owner, I need to make sure I'm paying more attention to this, because if this is what these investors are asking, others are, right? And sometimes, you know, when they're put you on the spot, if you can't answer certain questions, that could be the difference between getting a deal and not getting a deal.
Yeah, they're like, well, I got to move on now.
Right, exactly. So you have to really be honed in on understanding your business and certain things that they're looking for and all that. But then they're also giving you good feedback as far as, you know, whether, the, you know, like, oh, okay, we like what you're doing with that space. Have you considered X, Y, Z? And it's like, huh, I didn't think about that. So I think you got, from that perspective, like an AfroTech or these tech-based conferences, it really kind of opens your mind up to, you know, thinking more and more deeper as far as like an entrepreneur. So,
and that's amazing to hear that, like being able to go to this place where like-minded people are, again, even though you're in different spaces of tech, being able to say, oh man, you know what, we're dealing with the same struggle, being able to have that community, that relationship with people. And that's one of the things I feel like on the like sneaker, like content creator side, I think a lot of that's missing, because everyone's fighting for attention and space, and they forget that we're all going through a lot of the same struggles. You coming together and be like you said, hey, let's share the experience. Let's, like, we'll be able to find ways through it.
Yep.
That makes a world of change. And that's where you can really see, like, hey, that's why people, like I say, look at tech. That's why they're succeeding, because guess what? They can truly collaborate with somebody and have that shared experience while you're sitting here like trying to do the whole gatekeeper thing. Now you're struggling in silence if something happens. So I like that you're able to go in and say, yeah, I was able to talk to this person, or be able to get that person, that the speaker's information, and be able to build a relationship to keep growing. That's what it's all about. I mean, sneakers, tech, whatever it may be, but that's just an awesome thing to be able to hear that you have that availability, you and your business partner, to go in and get like the conversation started as you guys keep growing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that's how it should be, right? Like mm-hmm. even to your point, like I said, content and sneakers, right? I feel like, you know, people are afraid of people, you know, they're afraid of not necessarily competition. People look at it as competition, right? So yeah. It's like, you know, there might be ways for us to collab and work together and people are just kind of threatened. And it's just like, that shouldn't be the thought process, right? Like I've had people reach out to me about different things, right? People have reached mm-hmm. out to me about apps. I've heard of people who have apps that are similar, but not the same. And yeah. I'm like, hey, you know, I can, you know, and I've helped, you know, connect some people with some people they couldn't get in front of who I know, you know, yeah. and I'm really all about trying to help. Like that's how it should be because mm-hmm. I want to see, you know, good people succeed. So I'm not sitting here like, oh yeah, I got to be at the top of the mountain and I'm trying to keep you at the bottom. It's just like, you know, like if I can help bring you up or build up your business, that's fine. And if for some reason your business happens to take off past mine, then, you know, that's great for you. You know, right. I just don't sit here and look at it as I don't want to help. Now, if you're doing some shady stuff, because I've definitely
different story there.
It's a different story. I've had some people reach out about doing some things and I'm like, your character seems a little off and I don't want to be affiliated with that. But if, you know, if for real, like you're, you know, if I know, you know, and I know a lot of people, so if I ask around about you or if I see you active mm-hmm. on certain platforms or I see you at events and hear certain things and you know, and I'm pretty good judge of character, it's like, okay, let me kind of help plug you or give you some tidbits on how to kind of build up your thing. I met somebody, matter of fact, the funny thing is I met somebody in 2007, I want to say it was 2017, 2018 at a sneaker con.
Yeah.
Two or three years later, the dude builds an app. And he was like, I built this app because of our conversation at that sneaker con. Didn't know the guy at all.
Yeah.
Didn't meet him on Instagram. I just happened to meet him at sneaker con. And he was like, yeah, awesome. You know, he said, I just wanted to let you know, I started my app because of our conversation and you taking the time to talk about it at sneaker con. So here we are. I'm like, oh, great. You know, I said, best of luck to you. You know, if there's anything I can do to help, cool. But yeah, man, like it's all about trying to help build people up, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, for no, 100%. And that's, I love to hear that. It's like you inspire somebody, whether it was a quick conversation.
Yeah.
Or they saw what you're doing. It's like you're a source of like positive, a positive influence on someone as opposed to like, I don't know, I don't want to share this space, right. Which I mean, it's, I guess, in theory, it always will be a little bit of competition between anything that's like, you know, like the others. But it doesn't have to be. There's so much space and so much audience. Just pick your target audience.
Yep.
You know, build around that those people and then expand from there, which I think you guys have done extremely well at that. I mean, I truly, you said there's a couple other apps out there. I haven't heard of anybody else but you guys right now.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Mike, you know, right now, I think there was one other app that came out similar not too far after us, but then I haven't heard much from them. They kind of started to deviate towards something else, but I mean, there's nothing else out there that does what we're doing as a whole, right?
Where
you can catalog your shoes. We do push notifications. We've partnered up with a company where you can authenticate and get a certificate of authenticity on the app. Uh-huh. I mean, so there's just a bunch of, matter of fact, we got, which we haven't rolled out to everybody yet. It's in beta. Yeah. Well, we have something where, you know, we've integrated AI in with the app so that it can help you pick out outfits to go with the kicks in your closet. So, I mean,
that's awesome.
You know, like there's a lot of things. We're very, when it comes to us, we're very forward thinking. I feel mm-hmm. like a lot of other people try and see what's popular and they try and copy the same thing and make very small tweaks, right? Mm-hmm. We're not trying to copy somebody else. Like when we came out with, or, you know, when I had the concept of Unbox, like, you know, somebody had something out, but it was terrible. So everything we do, we're trying to be the first at it. We were the first, you know, we used to offer a sneaker dedicated insurance. We were the first company that did that. Right now we discontinued the product because, you know, people just, I think sometimes you can be too early for something, right? Like we weren't ready for it, you know, but we're very forward thinking. Everything we do is not, let's see what you're doing. Let's copy it. It's, where's the gap in the community and the culture, and how can we fill that gap, right?
Now I gotta ask, so with the authentication service that you offer,
mm-hmm.
do you got, is it once you've entered the shoe in the system is you can authenticate it, or is it a separate, like you can do kind of one off, like, oh, I'm gonna buy the shoe from somebody, I want to see if it's real first?
So you can essentially you'd have to add that shoe in. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to take it off, you can. So if there's a shoe, matter of fact, I did this once. I went to a thrift store and there was a pair of, I think it was what the fives, right?
Okay.
And so what I did was I just added it into the app, right? And while I was at the thrift store, I went through and I, you know, did the authentication. I got the results back in 5 minutes. Turned out they were fake. Left them there. Took it right off the app. So, you know, you can use it, you know, before a purchase. And I've done that. Matter of fact, I've done that at some sneaker cons, right? I've, mm-hmm. I've, you know, authenticated some stuff there just to show them how it works and for people buying something. But yeah, you know, you would, although you would have to load it in first, but then
it's fine. I mean, there's worse things you have to do. I mean,
yeah, right. Exactly. Look, if it saves me from buying a fake, you know, I'm all for it. So
exactly. Like I'd rather take 5 minutes of my time uploading something as opposed to me spending a couple $100 on something that's not real.
Exactly.
So, that's really cool. I didn't know you guys had that in there. So that's, I mean, at this point, you're often like this full service, like not only organizational tool, but now you can like say it's a beta, but now you can help me pick outfits. Yep. Is it based on just like, hey, I'm uploading my clothes or just like, here's some different color schemes that would go together?
So you would upload your stuff. So what you do is a couple things. One, you got two options, right? You can have a pair of shoes and you could say, ask it to pick an outfit out for you. And mm-hmm. it'll pick out an outfit for you from the top to the bottom. It can pick it out for you. Or what you can do is, hey, I have this shirt. Because most times you're matching your shirt with your kicks, not your pants. It's, hey, I got this shirt. So you take a picture, upload it. It'll take a look at the picture of the shirt. Mm-hmm. Then what it'll do is it'll pick out three colors that kind of coincides with the shirt. So say white, red, or blue. Right. And then from there, you can say, OK, I want white kicks, red kicks or blue kicks. Select that. And then what it'll do is it'll go through your closet and it'll give you some options of shoes that it thinks will work. If you don't like some of those options, you can tell it that and then it'll give you more options to pick.
Now, you need to go ahead and I'm just thinking for my wife, go ahead and make one for like women's shoes. And if, you know, it's time you can save some husbands on the street.
Look, you know, we want to at some point get there, right? I would love to get to the point where we're just doing women's shoes. I think that market would be huge.
That would be insane. Like the catalog you would have to have in that. Like, you thought sneakers were bad.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. I'm sure we get some shoes going, and I think it would be good. You know, I actually got asked by an investor a few years back about that. Like, hey, you ever think about, you know, women's shoes? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I said, you know, I think that'd be a great market. I think it would be clearly a separate product. It would be separate product because you're marketing to two different, which is what I told them, you're marketing to two different audiences, right? So I got to master this sneakerhead audience first before I can go over into the women audience. Cause I mean, I'm not a woman, so I don't really know, but
it's one who knows better. It's like one of those, like, I don't know what I don't know.
It's right. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, so once we get this, that's something that we had thought about, but yeah, it's definitely things that we could spin off from this for sure.
Yeah. When you talk about investors, I mean, clearly, I mean, it's always the dream to get the, you know, investors who let you run the business the way you want.
Right.
As opposed to coming in and trying to change things.
Yep.
Do you guys ever think like, you know, look at like the Googles or like the Metas and things like that. And it's like, is that the goal? Or do you say, you know, I really have the smaller investors come in where I can still have control of everything?
It's a matter of, I say this, right? I think it's, we'd rather have the smaller ones come in so we can have control. And the thing is, you know, I have my days where I will sit here and complain like, man, I see everybody else getting investors and this, that, and the third. And I know people who have had big money investments and they're going through issues, right? Because when you get big investments, they're on your back, right? So they want you to conform to what they want so that they can get their return faster. Yeah. So the thing about us is because we're smaller and bootstrapped, it's forced us to have to get smarter about a lot of things that if we had the money, I would have just paid somebody else to do, right?
Yeah. It's
forcing us now to A, understand how to do certain things better so that when we do bring somebody in, we have better oversight of what they're doing. But B, it allows us to still maintain control in the direction of what we want to take Unbox and where we want to take it to be at this point. So it's like a gift and a curse, right?
For sure.
I would love to get like, you know, big $1 million investment, But I know what comes with that, right? There's a lot of, you know, that's where it really gets hectic. Like, you're not making these numbers, we're going to have a problem. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, we'll get there at some point. But right now, you know, I wouldn't want somebody as big as like a Google or a Meta, for example, unless it was now at some point, once we build the company up to a certain status and they wanted to acquire us.
It's like, that's a different story.
By all means, like, come on in, Google, Meta, Amazon, whoever you are, come on in. But as far as helping us to build up to where we are before we get to that position where we can be acquired, yeah, I prefer, you know, smaller investors.
Have you guys ever thought, I mean, for sure you haven't, feel like you guys have a good enough product to make that presentation, but like Shark Tank, have you guys ever thought about applying to that?
I actually did think about it. I actually applied to it a couple years back. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't selected. Then I looked at doing it again and I had missed the submission deadline.
Okay.
And I need to look at it again to see what it is. And you know, what it would be. Cause yeah, I'm totally down for that for sure. Definitely. But I know how those sharks are. They be, you know, yeah, you know, I'm gonna give you 250,000 for like, 80%. Cause the funny thing is we did, it's one of those things where it's kind of touch and go. We did have at one point, we had someone who was a user who wanted to invest in Unboxed, and they wanted to give us, was it 150,000 or 250,000? Might have been 150 or 250,000, maybe one of the two, but it was for like 17%. Mm-hmm. And we can't give up that big of a percentage this soon, because when somebody's coming in with millions to invest, they are going to want a sizable chunk. And at the end, we have to sit here and say, by the time we've given money out to investors and whoever, this, that, and the third, what percentage do we want to be left with at the end? Right. Yeah. I know in my head, what's the lowest percentage I want to be left with. But giving up that much that early, you know, could have been problematic. Now, in theory, it looks good. Like, man, that 250,000 or whatever it was, maybe it was 350. I don't even remember. That would have been good to kind of jumpstart some things.
Yeah,
you know,
later. You know.
So I kind of sit here and look and say, should I have taken that? Because we could have been further ahead. But would I have given up too much too soon? You know, potentially. So, you know.
It's always good to evaluate, though. Cause I know some people are just so like, I got to get this off the ground. They see the first check that pops up.
Yep.
They give up all this equity to the company, and it comes out, oh, you know, we're actually doing really good. Now this person has so much say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, I should just wait it. Cause I like that you guys are very self-aware to be able to evaluate and have that self-belief to say, hey, you know what? We good for now.
Right.
We're going to take these, you know, XYZ investors for this, you know, disclosed percentage.
Yep.
But knowing that, hey, you know what? We know we are worth and what we want to be, you know, what we want to hold before we move on to something bigger. So I like that you guys are not just jumping at the first offer that pops up. I mean, I think there's a lesson to a lot of business owners and anyone who's, again, entrepreneur, even just if you're not a business owner, maybe you are the business and you're doing, you know, you're looking for these different brand deals. Don't jump at the first thing. Evaluate, figure out what's best for you and, you know, moving forward. So I think that's a good lesson for anybody who's trying to build something listening to you, Mike.
100%. 100%. Like you said, you know, just I think that's the thing. You get so you want it so bad that you get blinded by the fact, like you said, that first check, right? Like, let's be realistic. You know, I think it was 350,000, but it's just like, man, that could have made a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, like to really jumpstart us and all that. But, you know, who knows, looking back, yeah, that might have left us with less equity, you know, down the line had we done that. So, you know, to your point, you know, you have to be strategic. You know, don't be so gung-ho about getting ahead. Like, you know, I tell people for like businesses like Amazon and Uber and Airbnb, they weren't profitable for 8, 9, and 15 years, right?
Yep.
You know, so I mean, it, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yep. And those companies don't go public until they're making money hand over fist. Like, they were going to be generating revenue. They've already got their money in their pocket. Then they're like, oh, okay, who wants to come in and throw some more money in the pot?
Exactly. Exactly. So you just got to be smart with it and don't get too. Be patient. That's all it is, about being patient. It's frustrating. Trust me, I'm frustrated often. But I'm patient because I know what we have and I know what the potential we have. Like, Mike, we've got so much stuff sketched out and just on the back burner.
Yeah.
Like, if I told you, you'd be floored. And I'm not even playing around. Like, it's ready. Like, so once we get to a point where we're comfortable and somebody invests, I'm telling you, like, we're going, our goal is to be the number one sneakerhead app. We want to be a one-stop shop. We don't want you to bounce around to all these different ones. Like, we want to give you everything, you know, all in one spot.
Oh, yeah. And you've already got, what, four things already taken care of? You got the inventory organization.
Yep.
You're going to have the help with the fashion side of things, matching outfits. You got market value, which everybody's looking at. And then, of course, the authenticity. So you've already knocked out four different apps and combined them into one.
Yep.
Now, as you guys keep adding pieces, is it the things, the investment that what you need? Is it for finding a proper, platforms to plug into this, or is it like the technology you guys need to build it from scratch? Like, what do you guys feel, I guess, figure that you are spending most time in trying to do? Are you looking for outside sources or doing everything in-house, I should say?
So we're doing everything in-house, but
okay.
the main thing dollars would be good for is marketing, right?
Got you. Okay. Okay.
Because realistically, if our marketing is strong and we can get out to a bigger audience, mm-hmm. that's going to drive more revenue for us. And then that revenue we can then spend and put back into the tech side of things. Right.
Yeah.
And marketing's critical, you know, critical. Mm-hmm. Like I preach this all the time, you know, it doesn't matter how great your product is if the marketing is not good, right? You have a terrible product and great marketing, and you know, you're going to move the needle and do numbers, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have this great product and you're not getting that product in front of enough eyes and the visibility, you're not going to go anywhere. So yep. I could sit here, you can give me $1 million and I can tech this thing out, right? But if I don't have the marketing to push it out in front of a bigger audience, it doesn't matter, right? Yep. It doesn't matter. Or I could take that $1 million right now and it unbox in its current state, and I can market it. And mm-hmm. this thing would take off like a rocket, right? So, you know, for us, it's more about, because, you know, I'm an engineer by trade. I'm not a market person. So any marketing I do is just from reading and things that I've learned. And I got a long way to go on marketing. Matter of fact, I'm reading a marketing book right now on some stuff. But yeah, the money definitely, you know, would be a big benefit for marketing, for sure.
Awesome.
For sure.
What do you guys see your big... your biggest success in marketing right now, is it just through like the typical Instagram meta ads that get pushed out, or do you guys have a different source that you're finding has more success?
I would say meta ads. Well, I think, so let's back up, Mike. I think it'd be a combination of things, right?
Okay.
Like we've got, Seth Fowler, Unbreakable mm-hmm. Kicks, you know, they're both like partners with Unboxed. And so early on, they really helped push the message at Unbox, and it drove a good amount of downloads, right? And then recently, over the last few months, I've been playing around with meta ads, and that mm-hmm. has had a tremendous impact on downloads as well, because it's on, you know, Instagram, it's on Facebook,
yeah.
and all this other stuff. So I feel like those marketing channels, in particular, you know, Meta has really been critical for us. It just gets pricey. So the thing is, the more money you put in the budget towards that, the bigger audience you get in front of. And so mm-hmm. for us, it's really about trying to, get more on that market. The other thing too, that is untapped that, we're trying to get more savvy on is Reddit, right? Reddit is, one of my users, real good guy, unsolicitedly did a post on Reddit last week, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, our downloads that day were like 10x what they normally are. And we're like,
from Reddit?
What is going from Reddit? And
I never would have thought. I mean, I know everyone, it's like, it's a little bit of everything there. You can just start, it's like this big, just forum and message board, but I didn't know that.
Man, Reddit.
All right, that's cool.
Reddit is massive. Like, and the thing is, what people don't know is, you know, and a lot of these, you know, a lot of these guys, they sell on Reddit too. And honestly, they police Reddit harder than they do like a StockX. Like, honestly, and I'm in no shade against StockX, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't know that though. I thought it was kind of a free for all on that thing.
Oh, no. Let me tell you something. I tried to buy a pair of Kobe Grinches, right? Because we, you know, we do like giveaways and things like that on the app, stuff like that. I tried to buy a pair of Kobe Grinches from a guy. The guy said to me, have you bought a pair from anyone on this forum at all? Because I need to vet you. Vet me as the buyer.
Hey, I'm trying to get you money, dog.
I said, I bought a pair from such and such. So he went and checked with that guy. That guy confirmed, yeah, I did business with him, da da da. And I asked the guy after, I was like, yo, I said, that's crazy. I said, I would think I'd be the one vetting you to make sure that you're not selling me some fake shoes. And he was like, no, he said, you know, he said, that's why it's so tight knit, right? Like they're on it, you know, they're on it. He's like, no, because, you know, people do chargebacks and this, that, and the third.
That makes sense.
You out too, because I'm selling you a $900 pair of shoes and all this other stuff. So they are very meticulous when it comes to, and I'm not saying things don't slip through the cracks because nothing's foolproof, but for when it comes to policing, you know, the sales and all that, that community is locked in. So
that's awesome. Though.
That's a source people weren't aware of. But yeah, so Reddit is a great source. And like I said, this guy just happened to post. We didn't even know that he had posted it. We were trying to figure out where the traffic came from. And then we just happened to stumble on it and we looked further and we saw the post. And I was like,
that's cool.
So I had to hit the dude up and thank him and stuff. I was like, man, look, I said, I'm never going to forget this. I said, because, you know, when I'm in a position, I said, I'll get you a pair of shoes or something. But just things like that, man, like when people just really love what the product and the service that we give, unsolicited, you know, post, that content, it goes a long way, especially in front of the right audience. So,
yeah, that word of mouth is definitely something that's still important. I think that people forget that because there's so many different ways. Oh, let me make a post here. Let me put an ad here. Let me do that. Word of mouth is still, I think, the most powerful tool, especially when, like, as we talk about people kind of being wary of being scammed. I mean, there's unfortunately so many scammers out here nowadays.
Right.
And if you can get that word of mouth, like, hey, you know, this company is really doing the right thing. This is what they do. And like you say, if they're so tightly knit and really policed on Reddit, that makes so much sense. And that's like the most profound and like perfect example of word of mouth, just how that worked. Like 10x the downloads in one day.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
Crazy. I was like, my business partner was like, hey, man, did you do some kind of advertising yesterday? I was like, no, why? He said, man, look at this. And I was like, whoa. He was like, yeah, man, that's like 10X. Like, what happened? He said, we got to find that source.
Crazy.
Okay, yeah, man. So it was good stuff. That was definitely a good day. Definitely.
Hey, you know what? I think you just gave a little knowledge to the listeners out there. So anybody looking to advertise something, yo, check Reddit. Like.
Reddit is, you know, they're pretty tight-knit group. And some of these subreddits are like, you know, huge amount of followers. Like the one for like outfits alone, right? We look at outfit type stuff, 130,000, 140,000 in there. You got sneaker Reddit, like all these different things. We're talking like hundreds of thousands of people in these, you know, subreddits. So, I mean,
I need to get in there more. Only time I ever use is like, I got this problem that popped up in my truck. What do I do? I don't ever use it for like sneaker stuff. I always use it for like if I'm doing something around a house or something broke or I just want to answer to a question, I always type it in and Reddit always comes up first and it's like, all right, cool, I can compare these answers. But now there's a whole world underneath this I didn't know existed.
Yeah, man. I'm not going to lie. I don't really use Reddit like that either. But there's a guy who is a pretty strong, he's really good at promoting how to market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been really heavy, according to my business partner, on how to promote on Reddit. So I'm going to probably do some digging and reading and trying to get familiarized with what can be done to leverage that platform. Because, you know, it's not all about Instagram and Twitter or X and all that. You know, you got to try tapping all them channels, especially when you're a small business with no budget. You know, you got to do
it.
So, yeah.
Damn, you know, I'm going to start doing that, too. So we both could be in this learning curve. And we're going to figure this out. Hold on.
We're going to learn together, Mike. We're going to learn together.
Yeah, we got the bounce ideas. Like, what did you find today? Because that's awesome, man. You guys have a ton of stuff. I love how you guys are, like, organically growing your business. It's not just, like you said, it's not just this fake influx of cash. It is not just trying to throw every, you know, influencer or person in the sneaker world. Here, everyone uses this app. Is a legitimate, like, organic growth. But you're able to do that because the product is proven. It's like it can do the job. Like, you guys aren't giving this half concocted item to somebody or idea, so it's actually done. I think that is why you guys are sustaining as far as you have, and I think that's why you're going to be that go-to app in here in the future, because you're doing the right things. I mean, integrity on it, like all that good stuff. So keep you going, man. And I love that, because everybody, like I said, there's just, especially the sneakers, unfortunately, there's just sort of more percentage of scammers than not sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what we try and pride ourselves on. You know, we want to create this safe space where you can come in and feel, you know, feel valued, where you can feel comfortable transacting and doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And that your voice actually is helping to shape the platform. Cause you know, a lot of times, you know, people, and that's what I find. I appreciate the people. I love when people say the product is great. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I absolutely love when people are like, love the product. Is this something that you consider doing? And people will write out some lengthy emails about some things. And I appreciate that, because that tells me you really value the product. Because let's be realistic. We're busy, man. Like, I don't have time to be sitting here typing out these long emails to some stranger. And the fact that people take time to do that and, you know, praise the app, but say, hey, here's, you know, have you thought about this? I love that, because there are some things we weren't thinking of, number one. And number two, there are things that we are thinking of, and that shows us that we are aligned with our user base, and we're going in the right direction. So I absolutely love that kind of stuff, man. I do. It definitely makes a lot of the frustrations of a business owner, you know, I look past the frustrations when I get those emails. So.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, as you guys are considerate to the customer, it's not like, hey, I'm going to do this and just whatever. Yep. It is, hey, we're still small to be able to turn this ship when needed.
Yep.
And then being able to be agile now gives you better standing when you guys do, you know, blow up. So I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, nail on the head, Mike. That's
awesome, man. I love what you guys are doing.
Appreciate
and,
it.
Anything that is... besides, of course, the beta you guys have now, picking out the clothes, but anything else coming down the pipeline before we finish up that you want to tell the world that you can? That's not and I know you get this the list of things you're working on, but what's the ones that, you know, you can talk about?
You know, I got a big one I can't necessarily talk about yet. You know, we do have some things that we're working on where we're trying to make it where it's more interactive, community-based. So, you know, right now, people can, you know, if you friend request other people, you can see what's in their collection and what they're wearing and adding, you can see in their feed. You know, we're going to at some point integrate it to where people can actually, you know, communicate.
Oh, cool.
We're going to have it to where there's a feature that we talked about where when a shoe pops up in somebody's feed, if it's something that they may be interested in trying to buy, if you click on it and there's, let's say, a review from a YouTuber or influencer or something, it'll take you to a video of that shoe so you can get a better,
that's dope.
You know, firsthand look at that shoe. So, you know, there are some things that we're really trying to do to add some value. I'm not saying we would never bring back the insurance. That may be something down the line that we bring back as well.
Okay.
I was kind of bummed that, you know, it wasn't as popular. Like we had a decent amount of people, but it wasn't the numbers that we should have had for sure.
I'm surprised it wouldn't be. I mean, cause insurance, renter's insurance only covers so much. I'm very surprised that
people don't know that though. Like you know that. And the thing is, a lot of people feel that, their renters or homeowners insurance covers them. And what we had was very different. It was, you know, and we had several people who had claims too. We had a guy who had a pair of the, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the Dunks. They were worth $1,000. They got messed up. And so he just submitted a claim. He paid no deductible and we cut him a check for the resale value of the shoes. Now, your homeowners,
that's a huge difference than what, like I say, they're going to cut you a $180 check. They're like, hey, this shoe's $180 at Nike. Go get you another one.
Right. And that's the thing. But people, so I think where we kind of fell short is two things. One, we didn't put enough content out there educating people on the why it was different, because people just kept saying, oh, yeah, we got homeowners. And I'm like, no, homeowners, they're not giving you resale. They're going to take that. They're going to depreciate it down. We are giving you resale and you don't even have a deductible. Right. So, I think it was for us, it was a couple things. It was just, we thought on its merits, people would sit here and be like, oh yeah, insurance, and they would get it. And we didn't put enough time and effort into really pushing content to educate them on the difference. And I think that's probably where we fell short. So that can be something that we come back with down the line, but we got some things lined up. Trust me.
Hey, I'll be sitting there watching, like, what you doing over there, Mike? What's happening? I think what you guys are doing is awesome, man. And like I said, I think coming back around to the insurance thing, if you guys were to promote that again, I think people just are so fatigued by insurance and like, no, they think, feel like they're getting scammed. But I think once you guys get the actual knowledge out there, they'll understand like, oh, this is actually way better than what I'm doing now.
Right.
I feel like it'll be successful.
I agree. But we'll see. Time will tell, Mike. But we're cooking over here. We're trying to cook.
Yeah, man. Well, shoot, Mike, I appreciate you coming on this afternoon, man. I appreciate it. I love setting these conversations. Of course, they're sneaker centric, but they're more business. I like being able to get behind the business, behind the curtain, and see what you guys are doing. So I appreciate that. And Mike, let everybody know how to find you, man.
Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody, you can find – I know, I always forget that part, right? you can check me out on Unboxed_app on Instagram. I believe it's the same on X, but those are pretty much the two platforms I'm pretty predominantly active on. So Unboxed_app on Instagram and on X.
Perfect, man. Well, you guys go download. If you guys have any situation like I have back here in my closet, the Unboxed app will help you. Trust me, don't try to do it yourself because you'll spend a week of time that you're not getting back. So try it. Unboxed. It's super cool. I personally have tried it, and it's very, very helpful. But check out Mike, check out Unbox, see what they're doing. They're always coming out with something new. Looks like there's a lot of things on the horizon as well to make it even a better experience for you guys as the users, for us as the users, I should say. So appreciate you, Mike, for coming on. And guys, make sure you do all the things. Hit subscribe to Mike and Unbox. Hit subscribe to the Sneaker History Podcast. Do the likes, the comments, all that good stuff to, you know, beat the algorithm out there. So till next time, guys, see ya.